This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
So why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in collection there.
I was going to have to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. No, was it? No, Bismarck was
not. Bismarck.
Bismarck. No, who's the other guy I'm getting?
Bismarck. Yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen-size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the things.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I'm just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Call, I know you love to show off, but I never thought that you would take it this far. What do I know?
Been a while, sweetheart. We hardly talk. I was doing my thing.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Just Rosero, and we are all zoinked up because it's one of the best weeks of the year. Scott Criscola, Thanksgiving week is upon us. We always talk about how it's always an exciting week around here, short work week, and then, of course, a great Thanksgiving dinner. The night before Thanksgiving is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you'll be here on Friday for our, Jesus Christ, the ninth annual Day After Thanksgiving extravaganza. So we're heading to Boneheads this year. We got about 25 of us heading out.
Oh, yeah. Very nice.
Should be fun. We have the some space cleared out. And I want you to try that Shipyard gingerbread beer, Scott. I think you'll
sounds
enjoy it.
Quite good. Oh, sounds quite good. And
very festive.
I want to add, by the way, good evening, JR. Always a pleasure. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 347 of The Mothership.
Mm-hmm. Mothership.
The Mothership.
And by the way, we wrapped the weekend. I should just quickly put out with your nationally ranked Providence College Friars.
Yes.
Traveling to Rupp Arena, Rupp Gym, whatever the hell it is, to take on the Kentucky Wildcats, number one in the nation right now. PC has to play Yale on Friday, which we'll be at. And then if they win that, hopefully they'll go into Rupp at 6-0 and ranked.
And then hopefully not be too humiliated at 6-1. Although you never know. Kentucky's had games. I mean, everyone's taken that Kansas game where they beat them by 32 as a big deal, but I don't know if Kansas...
Well, the thing is, too, Kentucky has... they play Texas a couple days later, so I'm hoping maybe they... Well, they probably won't overlook as much now that PC's ranked and getting some pub. You know, if it was... Where they were kind of flying under the radar, maybe, but anyway.
Yeah, but Friars looking very good. And you made a good point when we were talking on our threads last night, and I said it to the Lumpy Silverback today that... like 3 years ago, you would have lost that game to Notre Dame yesterday.
Yeah, it's a big. It's a and Ed Cooley talked about this after the Albany game, and we'll switch gears really quick here. But he was talking about this after the Albany game, how the culture wins. Meaning, in the past, when you're a culture of losing on a team, you find ways to lose those games. And when you're a culture of winning, you find a way to win those close games and scratch them out. And I think PC over the last 3 years has quickly gone from a losing culture to a winning culture, and it helps in those kind of games. So I think that it gives you confidence and you feel like you can beat anyone. Right. So that's why I think Kentucky, even if they can hang in, just like they did at Barclays last year, Scott, you know, if they hang in for a half or, you know, and then maybe the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second half, and if they start to fade late, can't blame them. But it'd be nice. A close loss there would look good. So, so that's the week ahead here. This is our only show this week. Of course, coming up later this week, we'll have the Kevin Kelly Show and main event.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you guys will be talking Survivor Series, which you should quickly mention, of course. Saw the long-awaited debut of Sting in the World Wrestling Entertainment. You know, It is what it is, but I was marking out. It was a great moment.
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I thought they did a good job. I mean, the musical's a little weird. I kind of wish they had his old Crow music, but
I know. Or I've actually watched, since watching the WCWs now, I've kind of got his old, like, early 90s, you know,
or even the Man Called Sting, you know, I could have broken that.
Yeah, I had that.
There's a lot of songs.
Yeah,
they could have used, but they didn't. But still, it was a cool moment. He hit Triple H with a really cool reverse DDT.
That wasn't one of those lazy old man moves. He really snapped it off pretty good and made it look pretty good. So
we'll see where things go with him. But it was a cool moment ending a very 50-50 Survivor Series, to be kind.
Well, it was a sandwich. We were just talking about it. Great opener, great main event. And the middle 2 hours was a little shaky.
But you know, so they do what they wanted to do. They wanted to get people talking. So we'll see if they can carry over, made Dolph look like a star. We'll see if they can keep doing that. So, all right, why don't we head back about 18 years? And because tonight is our live watch for Saturday Night's Main Event. Last time out, we did the first two episodes from May and October 1985. Episode 3, Scott, is a very well-known episode, but we're going to skip that one. Because we already did it, was it 2 years ago on the Halloween show? We did
2 years ago
the Halloween episode. So if you want to go back and listen to me and Scott do that, we live watched that thing a while ago. And also, Roger Morissette had recently did that in an episode of installment of Cowboy Goes to Class. He had done an installment of on that Halloween episode too. So you have some recent takes on that, so you don't need that from us tonight. So instead, we're going to skip ahead to episode 4, which is from January 1986, and we have our usual three guests here. So we're going to welcome in first Mr. Jason Greenhouse. Jason, how you doing?
Hey, good evening, guys. Glad to be back, and I'm ready to go.
All right. Very excited to have you here. All right. Also, we have, of course, the good doctor, your co-host on every week on Extra Point, and that is George Ribolino. George, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm looking forward to this tonight.
Yeah, should be fun having you guys good back show. In the house. And, of course, the madman for North the Border, our good buddy Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
I am doing well, and I'm not going to make any promises, but I'm going to do my best to say nothing weird or alienating this evening.
Yeah, I don't see that going well.
No, me neither, really.
Once we see the Junkyard Dog, you're going to be all hot and bothered again. So,
oh, God, if his mom is on this show again.
All right. So, Saturday's Main Event, it is from January,
Fourth.
4th, 1986. Of course, the awards we'll be doling out are the most 80s person, the most 80s hair, the most Federation year moment, match of the night, and an overall grade of the show. We're only going to do one episode tonight. It was a little bit long last time doing two, so we're going to just do one, and then we're going to talk a little bit about the time period, too, where the company was at, and kind of tease what's coming on our next one. So if everyone is lined up and ready to go, we can get this firecracker lit. So I am paused. I see the graphic here. Shines in Florida. Do we all have that up?
Yes.
I actually. Yep. Mine's in blacks, but I mean, I'm probably right before it. So.
Okay. All right. I'll count us in. 3, 2. So, yes, we are in sunny Florida. Mm-hmm. Saturday's Main Event will be shining there. Some kind of water park, I see.
Mm-hmm.
And we get it right away. Hulk Hogan making protein shakes by a pool.
This kind of reminds me of that.
Where are the needles?
Or the pill bags. Remember this? The first Hulkamania tape when he was doing his protein python shake and he's throwing pills in a blender.
And he had Lori Alfred Hayes drinking it.
Yeah.
He's doing that now with Mean Gene. He's making him a protein shake. Mean Gene wearing it looks like a spandex tuxedo or something.
Mean Gene is going to need to have his stomach pumped later.
Apparently, this,
I can think of so many Place to Be Nation members that should be wearing that tuxedo right now. So.
Apparently, this protein shake makes you immediately Hulk up and be super strong because Mean Gene is feeling frisky.
Look at that.
Oh, there you go. Five seconds of hillbillies in a pool.
Oh, maybe. My Lord. All right. So the hillbillies are in the pool.
Can't get rid of these guys.
They're in inner tubes, and Roddy Piper is watching them with binoculars while Jesse Ventura is getting rubbed down by chicken
by
bikinis.
Porn stars.
Yeah, they have so many women with
them. They have a whole gaggle of them.
Piper said they're taking their yearly bath.
Yeah, we really didn't need to see Uncle Elmer's bare feet. That was the last thing we really needed to see right now.
And well, doesn't he wrestle like that all the time? Or is he the one in the boots? Cousin Junior.
No, he's in the boots. Incidentally, this was taped. Aired on January 4th, 86, taped on December 19th, 1985, and once the arena opens, I'll let you know where they are.
Yeah, so we're in the open right now. Of course, dubbed over Animotion, I'm sure.
Oh, they changed the open. We have some new guys, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Is it
Kirchner in the open?
Is it dubbed over Animotion, Greeny?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tremendous.
It's still the Saturday Night's Main Event opening that we came accustomed to about 87 or 88.
Right. Well, you can hear the Animotion as always on Main Event every week.
Yes, that's right.
Of the week.
That's right. So we are at, I don't think Vince says it, but we are at the Sun Dome on the campus of the University of South Florida, which Dr. G was what, like 5 hours from your house? Tampa?
No, about an hour and a half or so.
Hour and a half. Oh, really? Why do I think Tampa seems further north than it is? I guess not. Okay. Oh, good. Not too bad, then.
A peace match is on deck tonight. Corporal Kircher and Nikolai Volkov.
Lovely.
We're going to solve all the problems in the world between Russia and the United States. That's a nice peace match.
Fantastic. Hey, Fink.
Big tag match. JYD and Ricky Steamboat against Magnificent Morocco and Mr. Fuji.
Oh, your boy. Earnest pay, finally. I think we were past the TV show stage when they're doing Fuji Vice and Fuji General. And
yes, I think you're right.
The other one, Fuji. What was the one with the cowboys?
Where Fuji Bandito. Like
Fuji Bandito, that's right. Dreadful. Oh, there you go. Right up. Oh, God.
It seemed like those guys, when we were kids, they feuded for like 5 years, it felt like.
It seems like we're getting test matches for WrestleMania 2 tonight, apparently. So,
did they ever have a good match, too?
Absolutely no. Was there ever a good match George Animal Steel ever did? And, of course, there's our main event, literally. World title on the line. Wow. Jesse wrestling tonight?
Jesse promoting gay rights with his cape.
I was waiting. You know what? I kept my mouth jumping. You know what? I'm going to let Aaron softball that one. So
that is quite the cape.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, way I don't think anything time. Beats. I've been watching 92 WCWs at the gym on my phone on the network here. And nothing beats his orange shirt from Halloween Havoc 92. That looks like the worst, most uncomfortable shirt I've ever seen.
Yes, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
He's got the stupidest haircut, that little ponytail out of the shaved head.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. In fact, he had that on today when I was watching the 1990 Royal Rumble with Tony. He had like his, you know, his balding crown hair with a little ponytail in the back. I don't know why he ever did that, but
was he in politics at that point? Was he like the mayor of some place
in 1990?
Yes. Yeah, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
Brooklyn, yeah, he was mayor. Yeah.
And yeah,
how did he get elected with that haircut?
I think he won it in 90. Was it 91? He won office.
He was already, well, let's put it this way. He was already mayor when he debuted on that first Clash in 92.
Yeah, I so think he was 91.
Yeah, he must have won in 91.
Because he wasn't in office with WWF, I know that, while he was there.
What's he talking about, Greeny?
He's talking about he's got a six-man tag coming up, and he's teasing the person who's going to take his spot during this match. And he's bringing him in right now.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, he ran in 90, took office in 91 through 95. He defeated the city's 25-year incumbent.
Wow.
It was pretty big when he won governor.
Oh, yeah, that was huge.
When he won governor, 98?
Yep.
98. He beat Norm Coleman, and I forgot who the other guy was.
Coleman was the Hubert was Skip Humphrey III.
Yes, he was the Democrat. Norm Coleman was a Republican.
I guess if you get beat by Jesse Ventura in 1991, you must feel like the biggest loser in life.
Yeah. Actually, no. I think you'd be really cool. If you lose to him in 1998, then you'd probably would be.
No, see, I think it's to flip because wrestling was really hot in 98, even though he hadn't been around for a while.
Okay, I was thinking more of him, but okay, that makes sense.
Wrestling was super hot in 98, and all the attitude was in, and he had a big attitude as a politician. You know, that was.
Well, and he kind of had the cred from already being mayor, too, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, everyone was riding high in the hog. Economy was well. Everyone was excited. They wanted, you know, they were into the radical stuff, It's just the way society was going. Jerry Springer was big.
The dot-com was just burgeoning. Not really.
Is it weird that my father ordered a Jerry Springer Too Hot for TV tape for himself?
I get so nervous, Aaron, when you start a sentence with, is it weird that? Anytime you start a sentence with, is it weird that? God only knows what's about to come out after that. So that is a tremendous official City of San Francisco flag cape it had.
I think Pat Patterson knit it for him backstage.
Oh!
Ooh. No.
Oh.
What? I just said he knit. There's nothing wrong with that.
Is that Al Snow behind him doing camera? Just like Al Snow. All right. So Jesse, Piper, and Orton. That's a fantastic
team. That is a hell of a team.
That's an awesome tag team right there. Fantastic.
I love Roddy Piper.
Was he awesome. Gee, did he, like early 80s when you were going to the house shows in Florida? Not the WWF house shows, but actual, you know, Graham shows. And would Piper ever come down when he was in NWA or no?
I never saw him live, no.
No? Okay.
No, I didn't see him live until he was in WWF.
Okay. I was just curious.
Flashback to October with the big wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to see that kiss again?
I wonder if he had shoes on for that.
Absolutely.
He hadn't washed his feet since the wedding, so he was just...
Is that Cousin Junior or Luke? I don't want to get called out again.
It's Cousin Luke. That's Cousin Luke they're calling him.
He looks completely tapped out, doesn't he?
He does. Because God forbid we get the hillbillies wrong, since, you know, they all look very different.
Hillbilly Jim said their family pride is on the line tonight.
Of course it is.
Piper with the alternate... Christ, I forgot my knee pads. Anybody have any? And he's wearing yellow.
The yellow one. Okay,
we got yelled at, right, for naming the wrong...
Yeah, I think I said it was Junior and not Luke or whatever.
Stupid. Idiot. How can you make that mistake?
Ugh.
Elmer and... Wow, Vince was really on the hillbilly kick, huh? I mean, this was...
He loves him.
I mean, God, the second Saturday's main event was like 4 months before this or something like that.
Justin forgets the Hall of Famer Cousin Luke. Sorry.
was it October? When was it? October? The one we did?
October. I got it in front of me. Hold on. It was October 3rd. It was taped on the 3rd, aired on the 5th. So there was no big gap there. And that was the wedding. And this is even taped. It was mid-December. So we're talking like 2.5 months. And we're still talking about hillbillies feuding with Piper.
Uncle Elmer looks like, if anybody played Super Punch-Out, he looks like a character called Bear Hugger.
Yes, he does.
I remember, but that must be the newer Punch-Out.
Yes, the Wii one, right?
No, he was in the Super Nintendo one. Oh, long time ago.
It's the original one.
I think he was in the Wii one, too.
No, everybody. All the characters were racist in the original one. All drunk Russian guy.
Piston Honda, Von Kaiser.
Soda Popinski.
Soda Popinski, that game was tremendous. I'll tell you something. The original Punch-Out, for anybody who played it on the original Nintendo, Tyson wasn't easy. But let me tell you something. You had to fight Bald Bull twice. The second Bald Bull was a bitch.
Yeah, he was a bitch.
He was tougher than Tyson.
He blocked everything.
Yeah, he was a pain in the ass. Worse than Tyson was. Let me get a little headlock here. Now, this was before... This was after Jesse was told he couldn't wrestle anymore, right? I'm sure they're treating him with kid gloves because of the... that was a terrible throw in the ropes there.
Yeah.
He had been in the booth for a while.
Yeah. So they probably were treating him with kid gloves, and... He probably took it easy. Piper just looks so out of place with the yellow.
September 84, blood clots. Popped up.
So it's been over 2 years.
He had a couple matches here and there.
Luke, it doesn't have shoes on. That looks terrible. It literally looks like he rolled out of the barn and I got to wrestle. Damn.
I want to know who I have to send my thank you letter to. Who's stopping Vince from having hillbillies today? It's got to be someone.
I guess Luke Harper's I guess the Wyatts are the closest to hillbillies, I suppose.
So who are the last ones we've had? Was it Jesse and Festus, I guess?
Is that the progression?
Well, we had these guys, and then Hillbilly Jim kind of stuck around, and then we had the Godwins. And then
Jesse Festus is pretty
good. I mean, Jamie Noble was kind of a hillbilly.
What about Trevor Murdoch? Would you consider him a hillbilly? Oh.
Nah, do you really consider Texans hillbilly? Well,
he was
a Texan.
He was a cowboy.
Yeah, like Dick Murdoch. Well, it was his dad. Huh?
Does Jimmy Wang Yang count? He was a cowboy doing this.
He's more of a Texan.
I'd say we went from Noble to Jesse and Festus, and then I guess the Wyatts.
Yeah. Waylon Mercy? Is he a hillbilly?
No, I don't know. Where is he from? Do they used to say?
Gee, your backyard, right?
I know where.
Back your house, and there was Waylon Mercy sitting on the...
I don't remember where they promoted him from, though.
Right? Wasn't it the Everglades?
Yes. Yeah. So I wouldn't say he was a hillbilly. No, he was
like Skinner.
Yes.
Is Skinner a hillbilly? Nah, not really.
No.
I don't. I mean, would you consider Floridians hillbillies? I'm thinking like Kentucky, Tennessee.
Let me tell you something. I grew up down there. Some hillbillies. Don't worry about that.
That was the northern part of the state. They're like farther away from you. I thought you had all the Cubans.
You just got to take the checklist. Like, do they wear jeans or overalls? Check. Do they dance and smile?
Yes. Do they dance and smile? Do they have shoes? What does Luke have on his overalls? They look all like stained. At least
he's a piece of shit pig.
Christ.
They should stuff him for fucking.
He's probably from Passaic, New Jersey, or something. He's probably not even from.
He probably lived on that walk that we took from the bus to the hotel after Mania.
Behind that liquor store.
So Spivey actually owns Spivey's Sober Companions in Odessa, Florida, and Stamford, Connecticut. So I don't know if that's like a livery service.
Where is it? What's it called again?
Spivey's Sober Companions.
Why those two locate, like, of all the places?
Well, Odessa he's from.
Yeah.
And I guess Stamford to keep the wrestling
Maybe
time.
He started the business when he was here. Maybe he's had it for like 25 years.
Well, no, because he became sober in April 2009 after getting busted for a DUI.
Oh, okay.
I'll look it up, see if it actually exists still. That's Wikipedia.
Who's the greatest hillbilly of all time?
Best one or actually a good wrestler? I mean, what are we talking about?
Let's just make it a vague best in your mind.
Odessa? Is that what you said, JR? Odessa, Florida?
Yeah, so apparently it's sober coaches for a travel to the rehab facility, post-care treatment. Once a client completes the treatment process, we meet with them and do all that kind of stuff. Sober coaching. So it's like a post-rehab kind of thing.
Oh, okay. Is Piper biting Uncle Elmer? That's gross.
Does that ring look small to you guys?
Yes.
Go ahead.
It does look small. And it looks low, too.
And it looks like the ropes
are loose. Looks really low.
Yeah, it looks low. Well, you know what? Even early 86, I would say probably not till 87 did the equipment and the gear looked more up to date and Federation era.
I swear it's after Mania 3. To me is like if you watch those old prime times, I used to watch them back on 24/7. If you watch the prime time suddenly after WrestleMania 3, like all of a sudden everything looks more, refined.
This
kind of the turning point.
Yeah, this is like a house show ring, you know. Low and beat up looking, and yeah. Piper worked a lot of we've watched three Saturday's main events, and you know, for a guy who everyone thought like had a cushy schedule like Hogan, he's been on every show. So.
Well, he's one of the biggest stars, and these are big shows.
He was their top heel at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you never saw him on Superstars.
No.
I mean, taped pits.
Right. Yeah.
But never wrestled.
Yeah, he had a pit like every week. But he never wrestled.
I mean, I went to a taping that's when I first figured out that the shows were taped. I went to a taping at the Coliseum, New Haven, and he taped like six pits that night. it was really, you know, and the last one, it's like, we are a week away from WrestleMania. And I'm like, it's early February. Am I missing something? And wow.
That was like when I used to go to the Raws in 94, they would do like three or four Heartbreak Hotels a night.
Yeah. Yep.
How was the atmosphere in those high schools when you went?
Orton tagging in. Orton was just such a great worker. Really was. I hope this finally ends this feud at least.
I love the way Piper moved around the ring.
He was a good seller. He was a good seller. If I remember correctly, if you look closely, if they do a shot of like the table, well, there's Mel Phillips. I see him on the table there. Dick Ebersol, right?
Luke. That's right. That'll explain why he's barefoot.
Don't get it wrong.
Mel Phillips is around. That explains it. I must call this hillbilly match.
Yes.
Take off your boots.
He doesn't have his banana yellow.
What is it? Like what is Elmer trying to do to Jesse? My God.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. A guy who had blood lung issues. You're gonna splash him in the corner. That's safe.
Fat slob.
Drop the last one. Good. Good night. Done. Heels win. Move on. We're finished. Yeah, celebrate.
They're celebrating as though they just won the world title.
Man, tag team titles.
Oh, it's good. Any time you could dispatch these shitbag hillbillies.
Yeah.
You would think it's like the Freebirds beating the Von Erichs.
No, right. And it's good, too. I'm glad they kept them strong. You know what I mean? It wasn't like a tomfoolery finish or that kind of nonsense. You don't need the hillbillies getting any kind of rub on any level.
No.
So I am those perfectly cool with that clean sleeper win.
I think those were the tights that Jesse had when they did the original like rubber guys, the rubber action figures, except his boots were blue. I didn't see the color of his boots, but I remember those were the tights. I loved like original Bobby. I mean, I love Bobby, period, but this was after Bobby's fluffy afro phase when he left AWA, and he's nothing that is not awesome about Bobby in any capacity.
I always got the impression that him and Jesse were in some sort of cahoots too. Like working together to take down Hogan, like Jesse on commentary.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, Jesse legitimately hated Hogan. I don't think Bobby really legitimately hated him. But
no, Bobby's very close with Hogan.
Yeah, no, Jesse legitimately hated Hogan.
Yeah, Bobby helped bring him in from the AWA.
How much money Hogan made, Bobby Heenan, probably.
I know, right?
Probably, really.
Do you know what park this is, Jay?
I have no idea. I really don't.
No, I thought maybe it was some well-known park, well-known water park or whatever. And we see a little from the last, was that from the last Saturday's main event?
It's not Busch Gardens, right? They don't have that much water park stuff, do they?
Oh, maybe it is Busch Gardens. That's
it. Yeah. Could be.
Yeah.
Because that's in Tampa, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tampa, Orlando, general area.
Let's see.
So what's happening? Are they having a race?
Yeah, they're going to have a water slide race.
See, that was the best part of these Saturday's main events, though. You were trying to, like, capture all the different demographics. And, you know, the little kids can enjoy this segment. And the older people, older.
I don't know what kids are up watching this. I think this is done. I think these shows are meant to be almost like a little TNT-ish too, with having a little bit of just a little bit of camp in it, a little bit of fun with them, and then you have them. It's almost like little vignettes. They have like these little things, and they go to the match with the guys, kind of like with the Halloween one. Mm. I like it.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's so unfair. Of course, the fattest guy's going
to
win this, right?
Yes. Just finish. You know, JYD just finished a bag of pork rinds and three lines of Coke.
Look at Jesse.
What is he wearing?
Who knows? I don't know, Aaron. I don't know, Mr. George. I think you might be onto something here.
It's like a belly dancer.
Hey, he's been an advocate for years. He's so ahead of his time.
What would you do if you showed up to a water park and saw a Terry Funk dressed like that?
Jesse dressed like...
With his Texas flag chaps and the
Jesse
branding
like
iron.
Jesse looks like he just ran out of Donna Christianello's trailer. Sorry, I got to borrow your robe.
Then a 300-pound bearded man just like created an eruption in the pool.
Yes.
Apparently it's Adventure Island. Does that sound familiar at all, G?
Adventure Island, yep.
It took me a while to find it because a lot of people didn't have it where it was.
It could have been Waterloo from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Let's see. Adventure Island, located on North Malcolm McKinley Drive, Tampa, Florida.
Florida, yep.
Opened June 7th, 1980. So pretty new. It's across the street from Busch Gardens.
Getting a look at clearly a house show match from late 85. Hogan
has the best wave pool ever, according to one of these reviews.
Oh, there we go.
Well, better make my way down there.
Check it out.
Hogan still wearing various... tights, boots combination still. He wasn't totally locked into red and yellow at this point. I used to like the blue. That was always my favorite alternate Hogan tights.
Did you like that belt? What did the
belt? It's grown on me. I wasn't a big fan of it originally, but I did like it. I always liked Andre's from right before WrestleMania 3. I always thought that was a really cool belt. And of course,
when does Hogan settle into the yellow and red?
Before WrestleMania 2?
It's going to be coming.
It's got to be by the summer, because all those matches, you know, with Orndorff and everything, it was pretty much straight red and yellow. 85 is really the one year that 84 and 85, he would wear all white. He'd wear, like, yellow with white knee pads. Then he'd wear the all blue, which you always see when he does the Johnny Rod's elbow at the beginning of primetime.
I figure, like, Terry Funk's been a part of, like, every big era. Do you notice that?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, it goes back to, early 70s. Boy, that looks like a young Husky Harris with the yellow T-shirt on.
With the yellow right back of Gene,
Scott,
he has a
getting...
Von Erich spaced out face. Here's my big fat friend that just won the slide race.
Yeah, JYD was getting really out of shape.
Oh, and he's got the blue on tonight, actually, Hogan. He's wearing it tonight, so. Let me tell you something. I just had a bag of pork rinds.
I just won the race of my life.
I heard what Aaron George said about my mama.
And by God, I'm going to let him fuck her.
I've been wanting a daddy for a long time.
I'm going to let him thump the shit out of her. All right, I guess I broke my somewhat promise.
That's right. No, that's all right. It was okay because you and JYD's big fat ass.
It was a good run, Aaron. It only took 20 minutes.
It's all I can do. It's all I can do, guys. I'm so sorry.
You know, I wonder if that's why he bought the I wonder if that's why he they had that, you know, the blue T-shirt, JR, the one you have, the old school one. maybe to kind of go along with those tights. Not that he wore them tonight, but it seemed like early on when they were making a lot of Hogan t-shirts, they went crazy with different colors. And Jimmy Hart's only been with the company at this point, what, year and a half probably?
Fuck, he looks weird in that blue with the red knee pads.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what? He looked so tan because the other tight, because all these tights are so bright. Like when he wore the white ones, he literally looked like a shoe. His skin was so dark when he wore the white tights. He looked like shoe leather. This is like a big time match right here. This is like legit.
Yeah, Terry Funk is pretty pale. He's pretty high on the Sheamus scale of paleness.
Yeah, he is.
He's the same color as the floor.
Do you see Funk live, G, back in the day? Did he come to Florida?
Yep.
He did.
Yep. He's been just about every territory.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, he spanned all the great. I mean, he was even in the Attitude Era. You know, he just
yep. ECW.
ECW's there. You know, like he's been a part of it all.
And he stretched to like. I mean, he was in that late '80s, early '90s WCW twice. I mean, obviously he was there in '89, feuding with Flair, and then he came back in '94 and he was part of the Stud Stable.
Now he's in the Hall of Fame with his brother, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As the Funk
brothers.
Should actually be a Hall of Famer by himself, to be honest with you.
Mm. They should have went in together. They should have went in. They should both be there, but they both should have went in separately. I mean, Dory definitely has the resume to go in on his own.
Mm. So does Terry. Terry was
end up. Yeah. Oh, no, exactly. That's my whole point. I don't think there was any problem with them. They should have been able to go together.
Well, and yeah, your point about the in every era, I'd never even thought about before, but that's got to be a point in his favor, too.
Yeah. I mean, he was in every late, I mean, 70s, he was, you know, throughout NWA, feuding with Harley, and the 80s he was in, I mean, early 80s. Was he in Florida, early 80s? Where was he before he came?
He was in Florida. He was in, I think he was in World Class. He was in, obviously, WWF.
So then he went to
NWA.
He went back to NWA in 88, although he was just doing like that, you know, the judging of matches, like the Steamboat Flair ones, and he feuded with Flair.
He did some commentary on some clashes, too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah, like 90.
Yeah.
90 he was there. That's good. Yeah, Greeny, you're right.
Him and JR did some.
Well, he was commentating, then he turned on Flair, right? Wasn't he?
Right.
Or was
he was a judge,
right?
He was a judge, and then he went in the ring to go interview him, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and then he was goofing about wanting a title match, and then he sucker punched him.
He went in the booth.
No, but he... He hosted, you're right, Greeny, though. He hosted a couple of clashes with JR in 90, and he kind of returned face. Then he vanished. And then, of course, there was that he was supposed to be at, what was it, the 93 Survivor Series, and that's the infamous my horse got sick note or whatever.
Yeah.
wasn't he doing the interview in the ring when they kicked Sting out of the Horseman?
Yes. That was that a clash or was that Capital?
That was a clash.
Yeah, and then Sting later in the night fucked his knee up.
Right.
And that's because they had to give, was that Capital Combat 90 then? Yeah, because that was supposed to be his title shot and it went to Luger instead. Mm-hmm. They returned Luger face because he had turned heel.
The hot start to this match, by the way. Hogan was beating the shit out of him. The crowd was going nuts.
Yeah.
And Funk fell out onto the table, the announce table there at the side or the timekeeper table, whatever it is. Now he's getting back to the ring. So I just wanted to call out how hot the match started with Hogan really beating the crap out of him.
I don't want to get off the rails and talk about the match, but
you know, I know. Sorry to distract.
Did you guys see the spot where Funk laid down on the mat and Hogan just ran on his back?
Yes.
Yes.
Times. It's great. It exposes that spot forever, but it's awesome.
I kind of like watching Hogan, and I think that's what I liked about his unreleased matches box set. I kind of like Hogan in this early 84 through 86 stretch where he wasn't as formulaic. In his matches, like he was, you know, he's like throwing crazy punches. He's freaking out and everything. Like he didn't do that a lot post Andre.
Oh, nice back suplex. No, he definitely is. You know? He wrestled. Yeah, like, he hadn't like settled into that real formula yet.
Right. Like a match like this, he can adjust to Funk's style and brawl a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think Hogan was probably going to Japan still. So he probably had to adjust when he went over there anyway. Separately, not with WWF, like when he would still do the Super J Cups or whatever.
I guess he's probably kind of a victim of his own success, right? Like when you have a formula that's that successful, how do you stray from it?
Right. And it was easy to have that formula against any kind of guy, whether he was wrestling an athletic smaller worker or, you know, Bundy or something. Eventually, just kind of do the same thing all the time.
I, I was explaining wrestling to someone who never watched it the other day, and I was using Hogan as an example because she was asking if the matches were real. And I was like, well, basically, like a Hogan match, he gets the shit beat out of him for about 20 minutes, and then he shakes, and then he wins. And she was very perplexed about the whole thing.
It is tough to wrap your head around, Duenya. Although this era is probably the easiest to explain because everything's very, you know, A plus B plus C. Tougher to probably talk about like an NWA match or an AWA match.
Right.
You know.
Or the Hillbillies to explain that.
Or the Hillbillies, yeah. Boy, you have ugly people here. Hogan even looked a little fat here.
Oh, when he wears white, that poor man, that doesn't do him any favors.
Yeah, he definitely was. Well, he even said it in his book. Not the kayfabe one, the other one. The one he wrote like five or six years ago, probably.
The one that's like the saddest read ever.
Yeah, it's so everything's everybody else's fault. Woe is me. I was gonna kill myself. Yeah, that one. He says that when he got off the sauce in whatever, 92, he actually enjoyed it better because he felt like trimmer. He goes, you look back at my matches, sure, I'm big and I'm bulky, but I'm like, I have a gut, and you can see it here. He said he liked it by like 93 when he had trimmed down.
I would say he's probably carrying some excess water weight for whatever reason. Mm.
You sound like Jesse.
Funk, king of the choking out with your tape. This has been a great match. This is really good. Really active.
Yeah, very active. Very fast pace.
I mean, Funk is such a pro, you know? You know, he really knows.
Yeah, he does know his stuff.
I put him, you know, like that Jake the Snake kind of way, you know, like, really knows how to call a good match,
yeah,
and works the crowd really well.
But has better matches than Jake.
Yes, he's a better.
Yeah, you see through history that Jake is just a better.
I mean, Terry Funk was a scientific wrestler in his early days.
Yes, and then he lost
when he was NWA champion.
Yeah, and a nice pile driver.
It's funny because you have guys that are like great at psychology, like Jake. You have guys that can do fantastic moves, like, say, like a Kofi Kingston. But, like, I find that, like, it's a special guy who can put together the great matches. And a guy like Jake doesn't really, I mean, I'm sure he's great before WWF, like, but in his run, he's not, like, there's nothing really to shout home about.
Mm. Funk working him over with some good old school dastardly heel moves, like, although Hogan rakes your face with his boot too, so I guess you can't really call it a heel move. We haven't had really a chance to see the crowd much, so we really haven't gotten a. Although that guy looks like he's wearing a shirt like Eddie Van Halen's guitar. That guy right there, yes, on the front there. Yes.
And the guy beside him looks like a bit like Crocodile Dundee.
That one guy in the green jacket looks like the drummer.
Nice punches by Funk here. So Hogan, I like this the Hulk up. You don't get this often. Like Hogan's on his knees hulking up, and Funk is just decking him with right hands.
Yeah, this match really is good stuff. This match is really good. It really is. It's got to be on one of Hogan's sets, I think.
Is this their only like one-on-one like match like
on TV? Yeah,
on TV. No, they wrestled.
They went around the horn.
Yeah, this was their house show circuit.
This is on the Saturday Night's Main Event DVD. I know that.
I wonder if it's on either of Hogan's.
Very fun match.
Yeah, this is great. And of course, JYD here, and the feud ends up siphoning to him. You know, obviously by WrestleMania 2.
Mm-hmm. Is the crowd really hot still, Greeny?
Yeah.
Ooh. JYD just headbutt to. Yeah.
Oof. Nice tease, too, with the foot on the rope there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whoa. Funk. Nice. I think it's good to keep Funk a little protected here.
Mm.
Oh, the Axe. Is Axe Bomber? Clothesline?
Didn't even do the leg drop or anything.
I love when he wins like with those moves. I think it's just different and cool.
Well, he used to do clothesline leg drop before he did the clothesline was the setup for the leg drop before the boot to the head was.
Well, this was his finisher in Japan, right? The lariat, the axe bomber. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he definitely was wrestling in Japan still because you could just tell by the way he was working these 85, 86 matches. That's actually one of the better Hogan TV matches of all time for him.
That's good.
I mean, Funk gets a boatload of credit as well, obviously. Funk's just awesome.
Yeah, that's just
crazy.
That was his finisher in Japan. It's a crooked arm lariat, the Axe Bomber.
Interesting.
I would not want to be hit with one of those chairs. It's not the folding chairs. They have those hard metal legs.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
I didn't think Who is that? Is that Dave or Earl Hebner? I didn't think that they came into the company until about 87.
Well, Dave was here, right? Earl, yeah, Earl was in still it. In NWA.
Yeah. Because Earl had just done, Earl would just did Starrcade 85 like a month and a half.
Yeah, Earl doesn't.
That's nice.
Earl doesn't come. Earl doesn't come until the Screwjob in 88.
Yeah, because Earl had just done Starrcade 85. Because I very vividly, he's the one that's doing
right.
He's the one doing the Magnum Tully I Quit in the cage. He's the ref in that.
Well,
match.
Yeah, he definitely does not debut until. I mean, he might have been with the company, but I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think he's with the NWA until the DiBiase thing.
Until the Screwjob thing, yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's refing, yeah, because I think he refs the Garvin Flair cage at Starrcade 87, and that's what, 3 months before. So yeah, he definitely doesn't come in until right in January, February.
The guy with the Van Halen shirt also has a pretty kicking Magnum PI mustache.
Oh man,
yes,
he does.
Look at that.
There's a lot of great stashes in the crowd tonight.
Except for that one guy who's got the little short Michael Jordan Hitler mustache going on.
He's like arguing. It's Charlie Chaplin's mustache.
I was just in for Halloween.
Like David Schultz. Look at that guy. Looks like Johnny Valiant. That guy right there.
Every month was Movember in 1986.
Yes. So what's happening with George Steele here?
Hopefully he's getting fired.
two of JR's favorite guys right there. George Animal Steele.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Lou Albano with his 70-year-old woman Italian apron on.
It would have been great if Lou Albano just started wearing muumuus.
He basically was.
Yeah.
Really, except for
it's
those
not far off.
It's amazing to think that in the late 70s, he was like a legit heel.
Oh, God. Do we really need to see this?
Oh, God.
Bad feet and then hairy. Oh, there's a moo-moo right there.
Yeah, there it is.
Look at those what is, oh, my Lord, that beans.
Those are worse than Patera's legs.
Are those the same chicks that were fucking Jesse?
I think so.
Jesus Christ.
All Albano's missing is a Benson and Hedges cigarette.
Dr. Gene Ellis, who is?
Oh, my God. Look at freaking Gene Okerlund with that.
Everybody's got these pasty legs. God.
Okerlund's ready for the flood with those things, huh?
God. Vince, you ever give these guys a vacation?
Here we go.
Jesse with his tutu on. What the heck is going on?
Elizabeth is terrified, like Savage is going to throw her in the pool.
He may just do it. We'll
he
see.
Might just do it.
And you know what? It doesn't even matter what Savage wears. He can make anything look good. Savage is different. Look at her. He's like...
Oh, yeah.
He's like, I'm going to throw this bitch right in the pool.
Uh-huh.
Jesse and him, two fucking assholes. They ain't doing it anyway. Two dickheads.
Is Savage just wearing his wrestling gear to the pool, too?
He's got a Speedo on.
I can't wait to see his DVD.
Came out last...
The documentary was very well done.
Really
it was from the little bit I saw on the network, it seems like it's one of the best documentaries.
Very, very sad towards the end, but...
Oh, God, yeah.
Does anyone else feel Lanny's a little too into his brother?
Yeah.
The little bit I saw.
I mean, like, the way
But
that...
even beyond that DVD, I feel like he's just always very... Like, if you read interviews about it and everything, and it's fine, I'm sure, you know, it's his brother, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like a little hero worship.
I mean, he does owe like his entire career to his brother.
He really does. He could have stayed in Memphis.
And Lanny makes it a point, you know, to say that when Savage got to WWF, he said, "Hey, do you have room for my brother?" So he made sure Lanny had a job too. So I think, you know,
yeah, and I'm sure there was that. Yeah, and I'm sure that was super close. I mean, I'm not trying to be derogatory towards him, but just it always comes off as a little weird to me.
It does.
Well, the family was very, very tight knit. That's why. Angelo Poffo, his father started that ICW promotion. That was that rebel promotion to go against Jerry Lawler's and Jerry Jarrett's promotion in Memphis. So they're always very, very protective.
Look at the guy to the right of the. Let's see if they pan the camera back towards the right. There's a guy who looks like one of the sweat hogs. He looks like Epstein or something. Right here, somebody who didn't leave the 70s before getting into the 80s.
Thank God Rick Rude's not on this card because he'd be called out.
George, look at those white pants. Man, he is all Magnum PI'd out, that guy.
No.
White pants, Van Halen shirt, and the stash. Oh, that's definitely 80s, right? That guy right there is 80s.
Does he have the flip sunglasses?
Oh.
The Detroit Tigers hat?
I'm going to imagine him wearing flip-flops also. I know we can't tell, but...
No, they're in Florida. You never know.
I can't believe we have to watch that Savage Steel match right now.
Look at that referee.
Looks like Dean Malenko.
That is Dean Malenko.
I think it is.
Shit, it is Dean Malenko.
That is Dean Malenko. Yeah.
Man, he's ripped. Hey, Boris, I need some roids to rep.
Makes sense, right? He's from Tampa.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. We might have to put that in the shocking. There we go. That came out of nowhere. I'll put that down.
I love Macho Man.
He's aged pretty good, too.
Yeah.
It just looks the same.
Savage?
No, Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko, yeah.
Same face. Nice.
Savage was still in that Memphis phase, though.
Oh,
it wouldn't be until Steamboat.
Hopping out of the ring every 5 seconds.
Yeah, and ducking around the crowd. It's not really till Steamboat that he shakes all this off. And,
God, I hate Steel.
Yeah, he's the worst.
Floppy.
Such a waste of Savage, though. It's such a waste of Savage, too. This was more Savage with Elizabeth and George Steele with Elizabeth, and Savage was just kind of there.
This feud went on for like a year at least.
Well, it almost transferred with Steamboat because Steele would be second him to the ring, so it was pretty much over a year, really.
Didn't produce any watchable matches.
Absolutely none.
I actually went to a house show one time and they had a radio talk show host with some kid present flowers to Elizabeth, and freaking Macho Man grabs the flowers and starts breaking them and throwing them all over the place. And I mean,
beat the shit out of the kid. No,
it was funny though. He would get right in your face though.
No, that's a guy who lives a character.
And and then the same thing, same crap with George Steele. I mean, 25 minutes of just pure boredom.
Yeah, I think this was a guy. I think this was Vince Jr. just kind of taking care of one of his dad's pals through the end of the stretch here, because he brings nothing to the table.
I mean, he was a gimmick. That's you know.
And at this point, he wasn't a believable heel anymore, like he was in 77, 78, 79. So might as well just get him out there to put over the up and comers.
His LJN figure too was in the worst possible position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his hands are just down. Yeah, terrible figure.
Did he have? Did the figure have big floppy tit sweat going on?
No, they made all those guys look ripped. Everybody had extra muscles on all those figures. Nobody was really.
He had hair that like was like textured though.
Yeah, it was textured hair. Yeah, I know. Wasn't that funny? It was so weird. Savage had actually his figure was that combo. I don't even think it was the pink. It was like that reddish with the
hue.
Hue with the blue with
pink issue. All right, this match is like identical to what would be the WrestleMania 2 match. Oh my god, it's like the same exact friggin' match.
Terrible.
All their matches were. It's the same stuff.
Team Malenko's doing really well though.
He's letting Steel rip apart the ring.
How many holds do you think Malenko learned from Steel during this match?
he actually forgot a few while watching Steel.
Yes.
Used to be the man of 1,008 holds.
Where did those other four go? Oh, and then he George Steele match. And, yes.
Nice. And Savage pins him clean.
Thank God.
And let's get the hell out of here.
So if he pinned him clean here, why did he get another shot?
Because he kept stalking Elizabeth.
Yeah. The stupid Mania bills were not the same in as they are now.
No, now they actually think about it in advance. Then they thought about it in advance.
Ugh. Lou Albano. Sloppy Pig. This is fresh off his Sloppy Pig performance.
All the turnbuckle is like caught in George Steele's hair on his back. God damn it.
Yeah.
His cleavage sweat.
Man, that Magnum PI guy, he is like in prime spot right there.
Yeah. He's having a great time, too.
I'd rather watch him wrestle.
See, if they do a watch, I mean, we could see what he's wearing because he's right near the railing. Maybe we could see what he's actually wearing on his feet. If he's wearing flip flops, that's it. He wins the award.
There's a guy in overalls beside him, dressed like one of the hillbillies.
Wow, that was a lot of black there. I thought something happened. Then there's obviously earlier in the day.
That's a pretty swank Walkman Mean Gene has.
That's right.
Probably cost him like $200. Yes.
That's service merchandise.
This place cassettes.
Or Caldor.
I got to go to Montgomery Ward's today and buy me a new Walkman.
Montgomery Ward's.
That's where I got that tux, too.
This isn't the real Caldor's, right?
I think it is.
No, because I think
it's a year in review. It's an 85 year in review. Okay.
I was about to say, I think Real American debuts on that on the next
on the next one that we watch.
The next one where he gets beat up by Bundy. Yeah.
So this is a Hogan year in review.
It's everybody, but it's pretty much being dominated by Hogan. a lot of Saturday Night's main event clips.
Amaz is the Saturday Night's main event year in review.
Mm. There's some WrestleMania 1.
No, they're showing some Mania clips.
Mania.
All right, shut up.
It's just a year.
God, Pat was so fat in that referee outfit, WrestleMania 1. Yeah, with his yellow dyed hair.
There's some really cool generic 80s hair band music in the background, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
We're rocking I wonder what it is. Tonight.
Because I have the original broadcast playing. I wonder, like...
Oh, who didn't want one of those? I wanted one of those duffel bags.
So that Phil was Collins?
It almost sounds like the guy who sang the the theme song for the Karate Kid.
No, I think it is Huey Lewis. I think
Joe
you're right.
Esposito.
Yeah,
I think it's Huey Lewis actually. Though
I don't think Huey Lewis is singing this.
If this is it, no, not our version. Is it the? Turn it up, Aaron.
Yeah.
No, that's Billy
that's you. That's Billy Ocean.
That's Billy Ocean.
A Billy Ocean, that might be it. But it's clearly a love song.
Hey.
Oh, Lord.
There it is. They just showed the clip of the big, fat, slappy pig.
Man, enough with the hillbillies. I didn't realize it. You know,
was that Harvey Roman as drummer of that band?
There we go. There's Huey. There's some Huey.
Perfect song for a moolah. Speaking of big, floppy, sweaty tits.
Hey, at least we didn't see them on pay-per-view.
Oh, I love that.
There's Leapin' Lanny.
The clip from the Orndorff Piper match. The brawl from the last one.
We're getting a lot of clips from the Land of a Thousand Dances music video. I'm gonna stretch ya from here to New Jersey. What a great album.
I'll rock you with my cane, you pencil,
neck geek.
I got that album for Christmas. I wanted that album so bad.
That was your song, G. Was for everybody, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, Roddy Piper.
Oh,
bitch.
Everybody.
Oh, God. Yes.
JYD's God, I knew it was going to happen. Oh, Aaron George.
Yeah. Oh,
give me my corsage.
You're getting me to take her to prom?
Take her in the back seat.
Brown sugar.
Of course, just to update, we saw that picture. At the moment of this taping, the Dream Team were the World Tag Team Champions. They'd beaten the U.S. Express, I think, in August.
That was my father's favorite team.
My brother loved the Dream Team, too. Well, he was a big Greg Valentine guy from NWA. So, the beefer. What's going on, Greeny? Was Vince just yapping?
It's Jesse yapping about the year in review video and how everything was Hogan this and Hogan that.
Nikolai.
What do we figure here? About an A cup for Nikolai?
This is like Saturday Night's main event, the Moobs episode.
Lots of tits.
Including JYD's mom.
Oh, man.
He looks really, really hot in that turtleneck.
Yeah.
Do you mean attractive or? It is tight.
Greeny is a tits man.
We're hitting Tampa. I fuck his wife.
Fuck him in the ass. I don't understand Sheik's body. Like, how does he have ab and that big a stomach?
I know. Ab gut is like six pack gut.
Yeah, he's a unique human being all around.
But a tremendous, tremendous wrestler, though.
Oh, God. Is this the piece? We're getting the peace match?
Peace match.
Yeah, we are.
Piece of something, man.
Corporal Kirshner. It looks like Rockin' Robin.
now Corporal Kirshen, isn't he like some crazy like Leatherface or something in Japan or
yes,
something?
Yes, Leatherface in Japan. Remember a couple years ago they said he died in a Connecticut 18-wheeler accident or something, and everybody was like wondering what was going on, and then he like actually
he looks very tired here.
Nice. Yeah, he got bags.
Wow,
we just woke up Corporal Kirshen from the pool.
How much disdain does Jesse have for him in his voice right now?
He's actually trying to put him over really well, being a former Army Ranger and stuff.
He's dressed like the Flacco Flamingo from Legends House.
Oh my god.
Who
that might be my favorite episode. Oh,
god, so funny.
Who's a more exciting wrestler, Corporal Kirshner or Sergeant Craig Pittman?
Pittman.
Oh,
the Code Red.
The Code Red.
Code Red. The Cobra.
But look at this jump.
I just watched him fight the... Yeah, because anybody could do...
Yeah, right into a pool. Oh, dangerous.
Wow. Look at that Navy SEAL training.
Yeah. He's so tough.
Blassie's pants. What is he wearing?
I hope he comes out wet, Kirshner, from the pool.
Is he pretty classy?
Well, his diaper's probably wet. Somebody needs to change his diaper. He clearly has a diaper on under those pants.
So, yeah, he's got a pair of Depends on. You can just really piss nice whenever he wants.
That's a really nice sign those people made behind Nicolas. That was very NBC logo.
The old school peacock logo.
Oh, yeah.
The beatings, people behind them are so pissed off.
The beatings will continue until morale improves, as Sergeant Craig Pittman would say.
That's right. Of course, Corporal Kirshen was the answer to, was the replacement, really, for Sergeant Slaughter, who had left for the AWA. Who would leave the WWF to go to the AWA? I mean,
well, it was to do with the G.I. Joe stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, Vince. But that's weird because Vern wanted a piece of everybody's everything, so I was kind of surprised by that.
I was so shocked he was a wrestler when I found out he was a wrestler. I'm like, what? This cartoon character is a person?
Coming up, the peace match. Oh, Dean's still not. Dean is like jacked. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
man.
He's in better shape than either guy.
This match is probably longer than the one they have at WrestleMania. Q105. Do you know that station, G? Is that a... Remember Q105?
Remember, Tampa's... I grew up in South Florida, so I don't really know much about Tampa.
Bubba the Love Sponge. I wonder if he was a morning guy then, too.
Think that's Hogan was nice. Fucking his wife then, too? Or?
Man, that is a really good sheet sign, though. That was very impressive. It took a lot
Q105, still going today. It's a CBS station.
Oh, okay.
Let's what check out their on-air talent. Oh, they're playing Christmas Classics at the Tampa Theater.
Oh, very nice.
Anyway, very nice.
Christmas Classics with JYD's mom.
Oh, man, I'll take her. I'll take her on that date.
Hey guys, we'll have to turn in tomorrow for Mason Dixon in the morning.
What, the one Mason Dixon, the guy from the Rocky Balboa?
So did you want to know if there were Hicks down in Florida? Does that answer your
question? Two old guys and a younger chick. That is Mason Dixon in the morning. We give her the Mason Dixon every morning.
Seeky baby.
All right, so we have Mason Dixon, who apparently is one guy. So those must be his cronies.
Mm.
This other dude. What a stupid name. Cruz News. Cruznuz. Maybe that's the name of this column, Cruz News, or is that her name? This is a very stupid website. Paula Street, Scott Walker, Bob Berry, Gino, Dave Flash Morgan, and the QZ 100 Classics. Oh, QZU Classics.
You know, if anybody grew up in Tampa, they're going to love this podcast. We're right into their
we're
niche.
We're the whole city over.
Hopefully this Geno did better than Geno Smith did tonight.
Boy.
He actually got in the game? That's not good.
That's how bad it went. This picture of Geno is just him on a four-wheeler on the beach, so we know that he's definitely the young, cool guy in the station. Cruz News is confusing me. I don't know if that's her name.
Cruz News.
Cruz News.
Oh, Cruz News.
Is that the cartoon dog?
Blue Cruz?
Cruz on the U.
Chris Cruz.
Chris Cruz.
Oh, Chris Cruz. He hosts
No, that's her name. It's either Kruznuz or Cruz News. I don't know.
Kruznuz.
Kruznuz.
That's great.
That's a name for radio.
I think it's her name. I can't tell.
It just shows you how much we think of this match that we're talking about. You know,
Cruz. Gee, wasn't that when we were doing that weekend show? Wasn't that our producer's name, Kruznuz?
Kruznuz.
Kruznuz in the Kruznuz. Afternoon drive.
And like that's the beauty of radio is you have to like imagine what Kruznuz looks like, and it's not good.
Well, there's a picture of her, but I still feel like that's just the name of her column here. That her
Did
name
Nick
isn't,
just try to do
I, like her last name is Cruz, and they say news for the.
They're just doing a play on words, I guess.
In the
know.
Name of God,
right?
Nikolai just did a cartwheel.
Cartwheel.
Dreadful.
This escapes horrible. All those spies. Oh, Nikki. Okay, Nikki Cruz, and she has Cruz News.
Okay, she must be there. Morning news.
Savage George Thank Steele you. Is starting to look better than this match.
I prefer Kruznuz.
Kruznuz. And they thought this was going to be a great match for WrestleMania. Sweet Jesus.
I don't think they thought anything was going to be great for Mania.
What do you think Nikolai smells like?
Iron Sheik just looked at Blasi like, get your fucking on off me.
I think Nikolai smells like hate, depression.
Yes. Socialism at its worst.
Smells like the bread line.
Failed communism.
The bread line. Smells like the bread line in Dutch.
Right, give me the crusty bread.
That should have been the name of his finisher. Bread line.
The bread line.
The bread line.
I give you a loaf of bread for cotton cigarettes.
Look at these thighs.
Nikolai, nice job. Now let's go fuck Kirshner's wife.
Yeah, let's fuck me, Brian Blair.
Look at these thighs. The thighs of a man.
Blassie, pull up your diaper. Oh, his shoes match those pants, too. That's even better.
I always like Nikolai's socks.
Yeah.
Yes, old school athletic
I always
gym
had
socks.
Them pulled up out of the boots.
Like he bought them at Sears, probably.
That's right. Awesome athletic socks right there. Gym socks. Let's see if I can find... let me go to the history of WWE.com and see if there was any good dark matches at the... what the dark matches were on this show. Because if they paid for this... Well, they did get... I guess they did get Hogan and Funk, so let's see.
You better get them all right, Scott?
I'll have to make sure. Well, it would be Graham's fault anyway.
Not enough staff.
1995, December 19th was the date of the taping. Let's see if we can find some good jobbers here. Let's see. Wow, Greeny. Look at this huge card on December 3rd at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Huge.
Is this Bad Blood 1985?
The paper Ted Arcidi date. Greeny, Ted Arcidi debuted at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center that night.
Yeah, that's when they were still doing TV up there every
year. Yeah, that was a huge. Yeah, it was a huge taping. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here is your
Cruz news undercover. For the night.
King Kong Bundy.
King Kong Bundy. Q105.
King Kong Bundy.
Kruznuz on the fives.
King Kong Bundy defeated Rick Hunter, Dan Ooh. Spivey. Defeated Rene Goulet, and Scott McGee defeated Terry Gibbs. Oh, and actually, your World Tag Team Champions, the Dream Team, defeated the Killer Bees.
Oh, so Brian Blair was in attendance to get raped.
So he was.
If you lose the Dream Team, I fuck your wife.
I fuck you. I fuck you so hard in the ass.
Head over to Tampa for Riot on the Mason Dixon.
This week, the Iron Sheik.
And then slam the Kruznuz.
Fuji looks angry.
Fuji looks in decent shape here.
He's in better shape than Morocco.
I have to say, I always love that Morocco t-shirt, though. The Morocco t-shirt was pretty cool. Looks like the Bash at the Beach logo that they'd use 8 years later, 9 years later. Morocco's thinking right now, I got to meet somebody who's got steroids. Oh, I think and in a couple years, I would.
I got to stop eating grains.
Is the Federation era moment? Is that Jesse's little tutu thing? Or
I don't know yet.
That's the homosexual movement moment.
Mean jeans tuxedo. Mean jeans tuxedo.
No, those aren't really '80s things. No. I don't know yet. I gotta think about it.
That guy's fedora.
Maybe Terry Funk dragging Jimmy Hart on the cement.
Yes.
Nikolai socks, perhaps.
Mm. Yeah, Nikolai socks. I like that idea.
The race, the water slide race.
Yeah, that's pretty Federation era. How about just all the water park vignettes?
Yeah. What's the hair? Do we have a winner? Because we have the 80s guy there, but what about the hair?
Yeah, we haven't had a good, really good 80s hair.
They haven't gotten close-up shots of the crowd. They haven't seen any good mullets. Steamboat and...
Joey always looks like he's wearing long johns, like his tops.
Yes. Thermals. What has he got on his t-shirt? Junkyard Dog and these two guys. Must be some Mid-South thing that he accidentally put on that he wasn't supposed to.
Vince must have been so pissed. You didn't bring another shirt.
You didn't bring your JYD shirt.
Quick, write Junkyard Dog across the stupid shirt you got on.
Looks like Gino Hernandez. What is that?
I'm trying to tell. Oh, damn.
That guy's fedora. That might be best 80s right there. Let's see. What is that? Looks like him in... looks like Mick Foley is Mankind and... Ernie Ladd.
It does look like Ernie Ladd.
But the other guy looked like Foley in like 99. He looked like he had a mask with a shirt and tie.
Where did Magnum Van Halen go? Did he move seats?
No. I don't know. No, he's right there.
I see him.
There he is.
What's Jay Weta using for music, Greeny?
Grab Them Cakes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because that...
GRABTHECAKES.
I think he was using that by this time anyway because the wrestling album had just come out.
Yeah. I think he stopped using Another One Bites the Dust like summertime. Like probably right around August. I think that's when it came out, the album.
What's a better album, wrestling album or Pile Driver?
Oh.
Ooh, tough one.
I got to go with the wrestling album. Yeah, there's really not one.
Yeah.
There's not one stinker. There's not one stinker on the wrestling album. But you got, does have.
You got Jive So Bro.
Demolition
Steam, Strike Force.
Theme. Girls in Cars.
Girls in Cars.
Wow, that is tough. Did you have Pile Driver, Jay? I know you had the wrestling album. Did you own Pile Driver? Jay? I think you went to go get it now.
No, I have both.
Oh, there you go. Okay. I could see you blasting Coco Beware in your dad's caddy. Your dad played for everybody in the car.
That's one me. Song. One song.
The actual album, like, you know, the record.
Oh, the record. There you go.
There's one song that puts the wrestling album over Pile Driver.
Caramia?
Absolutely.
A Russian guy singing an Italian song.
I know, it's even better.
It's just a pigeon goo.
This music stink. I thought we had to have. I thought you were gonna play the Albano history of music.
No.
And then they were banging on the drums.
Stick his head on a drum and beat the shit out of it.
Can't even understand what he's saying. He's slobbering food all over the microphone. What did he say? Mouth full of grit, spewing out at the microphone. That's what he says about JYD. Still wondering why. I have to look into this. I wonder if it's on one of those kayfabe commentary DVDs. Why Morocco was not on WrestleMania 1? So weird.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was probably still the top five heel in the company, mm-hmm. and he was on TNT. Like,
was he doing like a lot of house show stuff? Maybe he was hurt.
I don't know.
I think they just taken him off TV and they were doing that transition thing with him being managed by Fuji. Wasn't he managed by who was he managed?
Lou Albano.
By? Was it Albano? And then the Grand Wizard managed him too, right? During his IC run.
I'm looking at some house shows in like February, right? Like right around a month before.
He's feud with the Sweeter in January.
Oh God!
But it's like he can't replace the Executioner on that card.
Well, they probably don't want to job him to Tito.
Yeah.
He was on like constantly in January.
Yeah, Sweet Hansen, Swedes, Chief J Strongbow.
Yeah, he was around.
SD Jones.
Fought Hogan at LA on February 26th.
Doesn't he fight
he Bret Hart in Boston in March?
That must have been
again at Hershey. Fought Hogan in Landover. Yeah, he was like fighting Hogan a little bit right into Mania.
I gave Don Morocco his best match ever.
Yeah, That was
he came to me with tears in his eyes after the match.
Because everybody knows that the Hitman
in the house show
at the Bad Blood.
He fought AJ Petruzzi at the Toms River North High School gym March 12th.
He was part of the TV taping at the Georgia studios there.
Oh, the Black Monday?
Black Tuesday. Saturday.
Black
no, that was 1984. This must have been something else.
This is WWF Georgia Championship Wrestling taping at the WTBS studios. Morning taping, March 23rd, 85.
Morning taping. Ted told Vince he could use the studio at 4 in the morning. Yeah, Hogan beat Morocco by DQ. Yeah,
he was he just missed Mania. Then he's ready in April. He keeps going.
Yeah. Maybe he got caught with coke or something.
I don't think so. I'm guessing it was just that they had nowhere to put him.
Poor bastard, though. Misses such a big payday. Yeah, because he pretty much wrestles like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, and up until that point, it's like the biggest card ever.
Oh, my God. April 14th in Oakland, he wrestles Rick McGraw. He wrestles Rick McGraw to a match in 21 minutes. Good grief.
Oh, God.
Rick McGraw to a graw.
Rick McGraw to a... There he beats Salvatore Belomo in April. Joe Murto. There's a classic jobber of the 80s, Joe Murto. SD Jones, Tony Garea. Weird. I don't know. I guess he just missed it. Yeah, if you think about the card itself, there's really nowhere he could have replaced anybody.
No.
Because it's funny because then he has that great feud, since Steamboat's in this match, they have that great feud obviously going on now as part of this. I'm sure this match is part of that feud. Had Jake debuted yet?
No, I don't think. Oh, no, wasn't he right before Mania? I thought it was like a week before Mania.
Mm. And JYD with the pin on Fuji.
Pretty quick
off
match.
Off a headbutt.
Well, Fuji's got nothing.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't that far removed from wrestling.
Yep. There's no... The word Roberts is... I was finding with the word Roberts, and there was no... Jake was not there in 85.
No, I think... I legit think it was like a couple weeks before Mania.
First, let's see. The first Jake match. The first note of Jake that Graham has is a house show on March 2nd, 1986 in Toronto at Maple Leaf Gardens. He beat Scott McGee.
Yeah, that's like a month before. Wow.
And then he at the in Brantford, Ontario on March 3rd. It's an all-star taping, and Jake's on the body shop, and that's when he debuts Damien.
This feels it felt a little rushed, this match. I thought maybe it was something they would have done a little bit more with. I know Steamboat and Morocco had that thing. I'm surprised they didn't have that into two. Because they were feuding. This is 86, or was it 85? Was this kind of the end of their feud? When were they doing all the shit with the martial arts that he hung on? I guess that was more 85, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Because by the middle of 86, it was Steamboat's Jake. Feuding with Jake. Yeah.
Still, surprised they didn't do any kind of blow off it, too, instead of what they did.
Mm.
And then that's when Morocco went to the whole thing with Adonis and Orton when the flower shot came around.
Looks like we're wrapping the cards
up.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was Jesse saying, Greeny, that was getting Vince all get that weird like fat face?
Oh, he's
Hogan.
Oh, I gotta go back and take a look.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't
really matter.
I was reading something.
Oh, okay. Nah, it doesn't matter. Pissing
them around. All right, well, Greeny does that, and the credits roll. Why don't we take a quick break? We'll come back. We'll do our awards, and we'll talk a little bit about the company at this point, and then we'll take it home.
Because?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcast? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, this sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Pop. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Pritchard, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast on the Place to Be Nation.
All right, Nation. All right, we are back here. We just recapped the January 86 Saturday Night's Main Event. Also have tons of recaps and other news at PlayStation.com. Tons of Survivor Series coverage. We have Scott Keith's rant. We have our live blog from last night. Scott, you had your preview up on Friday. All kinds of fun stuff going on. More fun stuff is the Greatest Song of the 90s tournament. Mm-hmm. Pretty good pool was up today. Group U we're up to now. And, of course, this goes each and every day, posts at midnight. It's going to include Thanksgiving, the weekends, the holidays, every day. You sign on to PlayStation.com. You can vote in your poll. We've had a great turnout so far. We want to keep it going. We got four of us on here tonight, so we're each going to get one pick of the 10 songs, so we're going to cast a vote from the show. So here are the 10 we got.
Okay.
Daft Punk with Around the World, EMF with Unbelievable, Hootie and the Blowfish with Hold My Hand, Notorious B.I.G. with Hypnotize, Tom Cochran with Life is a Highway, Pearl Jam with Alive, Darude with Sandstorm, They Might Be Giants with Istanbul, not Constantinople, Oasis with Wonderwall, and Backstreet Boys, Quit Playing Games. 1995, that song came out. Forget that BSB were around that early. Mm. All right, Dr. G, what is your choice?
I'm going to say Alive by Pearl Jam.
You right. Motherfucker. I thought you were going to take...
Well, we can all cast a vote. It's going to count the same, Scott.
I know, but he didn't take the...
different song.
I know, but I was expecting another song he was going to pick.
We're all on the same team here. All right, Aaron George?
While not my favorite, I'll have to go with Life is a Highway.
Okay. Jason Greenhouse?
Gotta go with Hootie.
Yes. Scott Criscolo?
Oh, Hypnotize.
Very good. All right. This is a tough one. We got Backstreet Boys. We have Oasis. Darude. EMF. I'm gonna go BSB. I think it's one of the better songs. We'll throw the vote for Chad Campbell. It's hard all of Twitter. So let's see here. BSB not faring so well right now. But
nope.
Pearl Jam, Biggie, and Hootie. Carly, second, third, and fourth. Oasis has the first place spot. EMF holding on to fifth over Tom Cochran. So,
damn it.
By a pretty decent margin, 16 votes.
Yeah. BSB not faring too well. I want to do one more since we got a few minutes here. Group T, this is yesterday. We have Fuel with Shimmer, SWV with Weak, Prodigy with Breathe, Nirvana with In Bloom, Santana and Rob Thomas with Smooth, Celine Dion and Peebo Bryson with The Beauty and the Beast, the theme of Matt Rotella. Bush with Machine Head, Jay-Z with Hard Knock Life, Nine Inch Nails with Hurt, and Extreme, More Than Words. Scott, what do you like?
Oh, God. I'll take Machine Head. Okay. Bush.
Now, George, you make me weak in the knees. What do you say?
Woof. I'm going to go Beauty and the Beast.
I get so weak in the knees. Jason Greenhouse?
Gotta go with Nine Inch Nails.
Dr. G.
Let's go More Than Words.
I had a Nine Inch Nails jammed into my throat, I think.
Jesus.
Oh, man. I like Jay-Z so much, but I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of Hard Knock Life. I'm going to go with Sisters with Voices with Weak. And that is in last, so I give it one pity vote there. Nine Inch Nails in second. Our picks are not doing well. Machine Head is in fifth. Extreme, not in the top five, surprised me.
Wow.
So, all right, come vote each and every day, PlayStation.com. All those polls will remain open through the first round, 640 songs. So this thing's going for a while. Tons of fun so far. Be also sure to check out the P2B and Survivor Series Rewind series. Mm-hmm. We've had Survivor Series 89. That was, Aaron, were you in that one?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You,
myself, Steven, and Dan McGinn.
There you go. Bunch of creeps. So the three of you were doing Survivor Series 89, me and the, we'll call it the core four here, me, Scott, Brad, and Chad got together. We did Survivor Series 98, so that was a lot of fun. It was a Brad and Chad and PTB super show, as Mr. Whittling likes to call it. Not bad. We recorded that one at like 3 a.m, so it was a lot of fun.
It seemed like it.
Tons of energy. The high spot last week was excellent. Steve Willey and Glenn Butler looked at intergender wrestling, kind of an interesting topic on the indie scene right now. There's a documentary out there. They were joined by Crystal Maxwell, gave the female point of view on that documentary. And it was a really good piece, a very poignant piece. A lot of thought went into it. So I appreciate it if everyone would head over there and give that thing a read. Very interesting. Aaron, George, and myself doing the Seinfeld rewatch, taking this week off due to the holiday, Aaron. We'll be back next week in full force. We had a couple of good ones last week, The Fix-Up and The Boyfriend. Anything that's surprised you so far? Any specific episode that you weren't expecting to be great that has been?
I had forgotten how much I loved The Library.
Yes.
That was, to me, the biggest... Not that I remember liking it because I love Bookman, But I couldn't believe how solid the whole episode was.
Yeah, that was like one of their first really... I mean, I think the Chinese restaurant was before, but to me, the library is where the future Seinfeld was first hinted at.
Yeah, and for me too, another surprise was that like how much I really didn't like the parking garage.
Yeah, that didn't hold up as much.
It's funny because I find like a lot of them, like I never read it before I write, and I find in a lot of them like I tend to disagree with everyone else a little bit.
Yeah, you're usually the outlier.
Yeah, which is cool. Like I really
he would be a liar.
All right. I'm sorry. All right. Just let me have JYD's mom, and we'll be all right.
the best part about this thing is we haven't missed one yet. Amazingly enough, me, you, Jordan, and Andy. So very good stuff over there. Crystal Maxwell mashing us with every Friday with her Friday with Friends, one episode per season. She's breaking down through season 5. She timed it well because she did the one with all the Thanksgivings for last week. So check that out. PlacementNation.com each and every day. Your home for everything pop culture. A lot of cool stuff coming for Thanksgiving week. We have some Thanksgiving holiday memory type stuff coming on Thanksgiving Day. We have our Vintage World refresh of Ice Series 89. Scott, we randomly fell ass backwards into that actually running on Thanksgiving. So
I know.
Timed
That's
it
awesome.
Out well. Mm-hmm. So that'll be up then, as well as this week's Kevin Kelly show and main event. Do we know who's on main event yet, Scott?
It will be Jordan, Mr. Willie, and Mr. Reesh. Benjamin is off this week. The doctor, hopefully, you know, will be sitting in for Benjamin on main event. We'll go over what happened last night in St. Louis and talk about one of those polls that WWE.com posted last week that could bring some interesting discussion. So that's the main event. What is going on the Kevin Kelly show?
We have the return of Dr. Tom Pritchard to the house.
Dr.
Making
Tom.
His second appearance. He was one of the best guests I think we've had on the Kevin Kelly show.
Yeah,
very
awesome.
Open, a lot of cool stuff. And we are working, though, on a major guest.
Mm-hmm. I know you are.
For a couple weeks out. So mm-hmm. we're hoping to break that maybe tomorrow night when
okay.
we record.
Good.
It's one we've waited for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a really cool interview. A guy that doesn't hit the circuit a lot, so it should be a lot of fun. I'm hoping we can lock it down. We have his information.
That'd be fantastic. Mm.
So we're working on that. So stay tuned, Nation. Okay, let's do our awards quickly, and then we can wrap up on out this bitch. Since it is Thanksgiving week and everyone's gonna be leaving work early, we'll wrap early.
Okay.
Most 80s person, Mr. Greenhouse. Who we got?
Ooh. I gotta go with the Magnum Van Halen in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I mean, he had Magnum's hair, Magnum's mustache, Van Halen's shirt, Don Johnson's pants. It was pretty good.
Yeah,
Rusev's flip flops.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's him.
Okay.
Best hair.
Mm.
Most 80s hair. I mean, I still don't feel like we had a great one.
No, there's not a lot to choose from. I'm going to say, just because I like his look with the headband, Savage.
What about Jimmy Hart? He had a little bit of a mullet.
Yeah, he had that cool little pompa mullet. Half mullet, half pompadour.
Even Vince, too.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, Vince's rug was always in top shape.
All right, who we like?
I like Jimmy Hart.
Okay, let's go with Jimmy Hart.
I like the pompa mullet. Okay. Federation. How do we put it? Like moment or
yeah,
Federation era
moment.
Moment. I would say the
water park.
Everything in the water park. Yeah, all that cheesy.
Yeah,
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Match of the night.
Hogan Funk.
Yeah. It's got to be Hogan Funk.
Yeah,
without a doubt.
Overall grade, Mr. Greeny.
I'm going to say a 5. The water park stuff was fun. Hogan Funk was really good. The 6-man was okay, and then the rest of the show was just flat. So,
Dr. G?
So we're ranking, what, 1 to 10?
Yeah,
1 to 10, yeah. Yep.
I'll go with Greeny. I'll go with a 5. I thought the Hogan Funk match was really good, but the other matches were average, and below average, actually.
Mm-hmm. Aaron?
I'll go with a 6. I thought the Hogan Funk match was really good, and even seeing I'll give it an extra point for Piper's celebration after crushing the hillbillies.
Yeah, I'll split. I'll go 5.5. How about you, Scott?
I'm going to go with a 6. I thought it was a prototypical Science Main Event episode, corny, cheesy water park stuff, which was entertaining. Another good Hogan match. His matches so far have been really good on Science Main Event. Piper was great. The Kirshner, you know, Volkov stuff was crap. And but I think that was trumped by all the better sports entertainment stuff. So I'll give it a 6.
Okay. And we got a Volkov cartwheel. So
yes.
So
yes.
Another look at JYD's 5.5 then. We'll give the grade there.
Yeah.
All right. So next time we'll be doing the one leading into WrestleMania 2. We saw some hinting of it here. I think they're in an interesting spot here in early 86, setting up for their sequel to Mania, kind of getting some fresh faces in the mix. You know, any thoughts just on the time frame in general before we wrap up?
I think the roster was still a little shaky in terms of dated and not dated, but I feel like Vince was and the bookers were doing a good job of everybody being in the right place at the right time, pushing the right guys. I mean, Savage looks strong. I mean, anybody against George Steele looks strong. Piper looks strong. I mean, the heels, the right heels went over and the right faces went over. So the top of the card right now is really, really good.
I felt like there were better heels at that time than faces.
Mm. I mean, but Piper's a guy that's just so good, you know. Piper, Funk, and Savage alone tonight were top of the line.
I think it'd be interesting, too, to see when Hogan turns to Hogan. You know, I mean, I still feel like he's kind of this hybrid AWA-ish, Japan-ish, a little bit different of a Hogan. I'm curious to see when he becomes the more standardized Hogan that we would come to know.
Yeah.
I think we still have about a year before that comes. But at this point, I think that they're doing a really good job with the transition period with the feud with Hogan and Piper ending and his next big one about to start, and just throwing guys like Funk and Morocco and Stud Hogan's way. Still very good competition.
I wonder if they made up their mind yet at this point, if it was Bundy. Like, cause like, it's funny because like, you're right about how they're transitioning out of the feud, and like, it's almost like there's a, I mean, obviously it's settled by the next show, but at this point I'm curious as to who they feel the number one heel is.
Right.
Like, right. Aside from Piper, which they already ran, right?
There's been a lot of people who have said on shoot interviews and stuff that Vince and Gorilla and Pat, their books, they had everything about 2 or 3 months ahead of time. They knew exactly what was going to happen. Hmm. So it might have been set in stone already.
Well, and that's just, it's a testament to like how much we enjoy it. I mean, that's how you write well, is you have a plan, right? Like,
I mean, there were strong rumors in mid 85 that Vince wanted Nikita Koloff, but he was locked in to NWA. So I would have to say by this point, they probably had Bundy in place, I would think.
It would have been interesting to see Nikita there.
I think that would have been a fantastic match. That would have been a really good match. You know.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
we're good.
Yeah. And I guess next one we'll probably talk a little bit more about WrestleMania 2 and
yeah,
like almost not fantasy book it, but like things they could have done instead, because it's not
the best. There's a lot they could have done.
Yeah,
seriously.
All right. Why don't we go ahead and wrap up? It was a fun watch. Always good to go down this nostalgia train. So I want to thank Greeny, thank Aaron, and Dr. G for joining us. Scott, as we said, we'll be separate the rest of the week. Kevin Kelly, main event still to come, but I will see you on Friday. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Of course, thank you all. We will give thanks to all who have supported Placement Nation over the last year and a half. It's been a lot bigger than we ever expected, and we can thank all of you for all of that. So. All right, we're out. We will talk to you all tomorrow night with Kevin Kelly, main event. And then next week, we're back here on Monday with No Mercy 03. Or is it Tuesday? Are we off Monday? I think we're off Monday.
Yes, because I have Fairfield. So okay. Tuesday.
So we got Tuesday, No Mercy. We got next Wednesday, Nitro. So we'll talk about that next week. All right, we're out. See you later. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Peace.
Gobble, gobble, motherfuckers.
You think JYD's mom cooked a good turkey, Aaron? You would know.
I know she did.
Aaron, I know, because stuffed the turkey at the house.
And then he stuffed his mom.
She let me
That
car.
Was the joke.
Just to save my feelings, girl, don't cry and tell me nothing's wrong.